Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 294, part 2 of Facts or False 2. Today is Sunday, June 2nd, 2013.
There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief, he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now, the hour is getting late. Tower, princes kept the view, while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
Like having someone come to work for you to tape and to plaster the walls. And the guy knows very well what to do, and he knows he has to go to the next room, but he come back, and the guy says, well, I'm not going to do anything until I hear from the boss. It becomes useless. 2 weeks later, you come back, and you were doing a whole apartment building, and you go in that one room, you look all over on the top floor, you come back to where you left, you say, are you still here? Nobody told me no different. It's always waiting on someone else to do something that makes us useless. Don't wait on people. And for certain, don't wait on somebody that's useless or talk to somebody that's useless. Hey, are you hearing this? Talk to active people. Congregate with active working people that want to see something done. Don't sit around with all the goonballs, the useless goonballs that just want to sit around and find fault on why they're not doing anything. How stupid. I hope that you on the radio are hearing every word that I have to say, so you can get up out of your miserable self and start to be of use to somebody. Are you hearing this? And so we become, I said, useless. The fruitless tree was a thing of no use. Well, it looked okay. It talked like a tree. Sort of a rustle, rustle, rustle. But it had no hustle, bustle, bustle. Now you can look at people and they have the rustle and they sound like they're really going to do something, but they never get down to doing it. Well, when spring comes, I'm going to plant over on this part, and I'm going to plant over here, and soybeans over here, and corn over yonder, and over on the North 40, and so on and so on. And spring comes and they lay in their bed and wrap up in a mattress and walk around with mattress looking like a great big hot dog. have no intentions of ever doing anything, become sick at the very thought of work or dedication or saying they're sorry or going on with their life. I remember for years when I was with a back where I had to crawl to get into the tub and crawl and put a great big harness on and go to work. But I had the attitude from my dad, so what? So you got a bad back. So what? So it can't be repaired. So what? What's that got to do with right now? What's that got to do with your attitude, you listening on the radio? What's that got to do with your attitude, your useless attitude right now? Well, I think that's the truth about decent and respectable people, both in the church and out of the church. They don't necessarily break the law. They aren't prison material. They haven't stole anything. They are just completely and utterly useless. They don't do anything. They can stand in places where the call for help is loud and clear. And they can stand in places where Jesus is needed. Right here on the north side, or on the south side, or on the west side, or on the east side. We're in Tanzania, or Nigeria, or China, or we're Russia. They can stand at work where Jesus is needed. They can stand in their church, and they can stand at home where the love of God is needed. But they never seem to hear. They look at the great work to be done, but they don't see. See, the fault finder becomes blinded. He gets a great big beam in his eye, and he's busy trying to check out, and he takes up a lot of room when he turns around. He's so busy finding faults, so busy seeking for the speck in his brother's eye, he becomes useless and he becomes fruitless. Better to be dug up, thrown on the fire and burnt. Well, maybe that'll get some folks going, I don't know. One way, my mom always told me, she says, one way to get people up off of it is make them mad or make them glad. One way or another, they will get up off of it. Are you hearing this? People need to get mad at what's going on. They need to get mad at themselves. I am useless and fruitless, and I want to change. Oh, is that right? And so they look, I said, at a great work to be done. They don't see. They see the needs in their own church, but become conveniently blind. There could be a hole the size of a tank in the roof, you know. Rain coming in. Well, praise God. And there, the guy, let's say he's a plasterer, just because you are, okay, but you know, I'm just using it. And praise the Lord. And they walk right by and the rain is falling on them, and branches from trees are blowing in, and praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And they get out of there just as fast as they can. Ooh, man. Let me out of here. I know they're going to ask me to show my talent, and I just don't have the time or the energy. And after all, I mean, there's other people in here, huh? Let Carolyn fix the roof. Rosemary. They don't care who does it, long as they don't have to do it. You could hang by a rope swinging back and forth up there, trying to make a 2x4 jostle into place. They'd say, praise God for Carolyn. Hasn't she got the spirit? As they're running down the road, their tennis shoes smoking. See, they can walk right through the suffering multitudes and say, well, people sure aren't moral anymore. What's that got to do with suffering? The moral majority crowd. And they're so busy checking out how moral people are, which nobody's really moral in the real true sense. And you really stand up and say, I am a very moral man. Every thought I have is moral. Every breath I take is moral. I hear nothing from the outside. Nothing goes into my ears but moral speech. I belong to a moral majority group, and all we listen to is moral stuff. And to which I say, and I'm not going to use a lot of finesse here, P.U. Now, I get letters where people say my speech is deplorable, but they said the same thing about Paul, and they said he was also ugly and bald. I fit into all those categories, so I feel very good. Now, I just hope that I'm waking folks up somewhere. See, I'm headed down the bend. I'm on the turn now, and I'm headed for the stretch so I can say what I want to say. Of course, I've always been that way. He's put me in jail a couple of times or more. See, but I'm safe now. There's so many people in jail, they wouldn't have room for me. And I might die on them, and then they'd really be in trouble, wouldn't they? But we become conveniently blind. Yeah, people aren't moral anymore. People are dying all over in Ethiopia. All over, and we're walking around with our bowl haircut and our little pinstripe suit and our little card with the pencils in there so we can write notes and write down dogma and doctrine scriptures that fit into our own moral code. And we walk around with the straight, homely black shoes on, and we're just all powdered up, and we're just so clean and moral. Why do you think people have to take a bath and wear deodorant? The flesh stinks. Okay, it's in a process of decay. That's all I got to say about moral majority. They're so busy, they become conveniently blind, looking at the speck in the brother's eye, they don't see the 2x4 in their own. Are you hearing this? What a stupid statement. We are this or we are that. Bible says, where sin doth abound, much more does grace abound. God loves the sinner. Jesus came to save what? The sinner. And if you're so moral you can't admit you're a sinner, you can't even get into heaven, because when you get there, all you're going to find up there is nasty, low-down, perverted sinners that have been saved by the grace of God in spite of themselves. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the one that can't be understood. Too much love. God is love. God, he didn't acquire it. He didn't learn it. He is love. He just continually gives it out. And the more that he gives out according to his word, the more he gets back. He sows it and gets it back. The more she loves me, she's sinned. Don't you know who's wiping, who's washing your feet with tears and wiping it with her hair? Why, she is a nasty sinner. Well, the more that she sinned, the more that she loves me, Jesus said. Why not get on to praying? Why not offer Christ to people? Why not offer an alternative instead of our stinking, decaying, need of deodorant selves? Instead of standing around shaking self-righteous, fruitless limbs at the lost. You know, in our country right now, 80% of the membership of churches never attend. And many attenders don't tend to anything either when they do come. They tend to run off after the service. They tend to go for appearance's sake. Well, what a terrible loss to themselves and to others. What a waste of moral usefulness. Huh? What a waste! What spiritual uselessness! What moral uselessness! But waste going on here is not our only mistake. Not only is it a mistake, it's sin. Jesus said the sins of sins is to be useless. Now, let's get something straight here. You on the radio and you people in here. When you get to heaven, not one of your sins is going to be brought up because Jesus covered all of your sins. They're all forgiven. There'll be no rerun movies. Aren't you glad for that? That every thought, everything is going to be on the screen. This is your life. No. What the Word does say, I will forget your sins, God's saying this, I will forget your sins and remember them no more, but we're going to be judged on the way that we loved one another and what we did. Not so that you'd lose your salvation, but for your reward. Why is that so hard to understand? Because we're too moral. We're too moral. See, when you're too moral, you become blind. When you get self-righteous, I'm doing pretty good. Don't drink, don't smoke. What's that got to do with anything? There, I have seen people in open sin that have more love than people that aren't in any open that you know of sin. Say amen. A lot of times you'll see people in the world with more love than there is in the church. Why is that? Is it because we become little gods? Is it because we have the perfect dogmatic doctrines? What is this thing called love? Isn't there a song like that? What is this thing called love? Huh? Yeah. What is it? What a waste! Check out the parables of the judgment. Did any of these offenders do some positive, horrible sin, some wrong? No. Everyone visited with some kind of a disaster isn't always a result of something that they've done. Did you ever have a car accident or something? You say, I've been going to church. I've been doing all kinds of things. Now what? I start to lead the holy life, and just look what happens. I start to obey the Word of God and read my Bible every morning, and look what happens. And I say, I have my devotions, and I pray. I mean, I got the little cards I pull out of the sugar bowl with scripture on it, and I run into the bathroom every once in a while and sit down at work and open up and feast a little bit on the Word, get back up and feel real good, and now I have this accident. Why is this sin coming to me now? Why is this thing happening? Did I do something wrong, God? No, you're living here on planet Earth and things like that happen. That's just it. And Christians will say, what'd you do wrong? What happened? But anyway, some right thing left undone. I said undone. Something you do that's right and left undone is sin. To know to do good and do it not is sin. To have the opportunity and to grab the opportunity and start out to do something and you know it's right and left it undone, that's sin. Sometimes when you go to do something, God, hear this. Listen. Sometimes when you start to do something that God knows and you know that God wants you to do, you have to undo things. You have to become undone to get the job done. I can certainly attest to that in the last couple of years of my life. In order to carry on the work that I'm doing right down here, some of my life had to become undone to get the job done. Is it right or is it wrong? Well, you listening on the radio? You make the decision. Before you do, then, you get all the facts. See, we need to get all the facts, don't we? Why are things this way? We need to sit down and talk to one another and say, why are you this way? Or why did you do this? Or why, what happened here? Give me a call on the telephone. Break into your 2 hour soap opera. The dirt had to be turned over in my life. Look at the bridesmaid. They had no oil, and I'm closing. They let their fuel burn out and expected others to light their way, borrow from them. The man with the talent, what's the Bible say about him? He buried it. Now, the fig tree wasn't cut down because it had small figs, but because it had no figs at all. The Bible talks about a man who was delivered of an unclean spirit, and then seven worse came in. Why did they come in? Because he didn't do nothing. He didn't put nothing in its place, and seven more came. He simply had empty hands. His sin was the sin of uselessness, not doing anything. And look at powerful Elijah. Look at filled with the Spirit Elijah. Look at Mount Carmel Elijah. Look at busy for God Elijah. The Lord asked him a question. And the question was, what doest thou here laying under the fig tree complaining? That I wish I was dead, he was saying. Do you wish you were dead? Maybe you're a powerful man or woman of God and everything has gone wrong in your life, and now after all the works that God has worked in your life, all of a sudden you're saying, I wish I was dead. Well, what are you doing? Nothing. What are you contributing? Nothing. What are you giving? Nothing. Where's the fruit? Do you, in other words, recognize your need, or do you just recognize the needs of others? But anyway, this tree was not only useless, it was a positive hindrance. The Bible says, why cumbereth the ground? Why should it use up soil? Why should it take up growing space? And so because it couldn't give an account of itself in terms of fruit, it was a parasite. Maybe you got a parasite, you're listening on the radio, living in your house, that never lifts a finger, but just lives there. Parasite. A parasite is something that takes up time, takes up your time, takes up God's time, it takes up sunshine, like the tree, gets soaked in the rain, receives baptisms of dew every morning. It received life from the body, the ground. It received attention and care from the vine dresser, and it gave nothing in return. That is a parasite. Not only did it keep the sun, you know, a hindrance, not only was it a hindrance, but it kept the sun from getting into the lower trees and the lower grapes and vines. Sometimes we can cast a shadow over everybody in the house, or everybody in the church, or everybody in the community, so nobody gets blessed. Are you a shadow? Well, a shadow knows. It's a menace. And I've seen so many in my ministry of 15 years. I have seen so many young people who have gone to places where they have watched useless, fruitless menaces. and they end up following suit. They end up sitting on stump, quoting useless, fault-finding doctrines and dogmas. That's how they spend their life. And look at the church members who live in constant and everlasting neglect. Neglect of privileges and obligations. Hey, you are accountable to God. Everybody in here, you listening on the radio on this day, we're all accountable to God. When we forget about our church, when we forget about our pledge, when we lose sense of God in our life. But listen anyway, and I'm locking up. Listen, by not becoming involved, we declare that that church is of no value. We lower the value of that body. We lower the morale of the church or the home. We dampen the spirit of others. Our faith is a mask of defeat. Our faith is a mask of uselessness. Our faith is a mask of fruitlessness. And others take on that stick-in-the-mud attitude that we have. Others take on that root rot. Consenting to be useless, we become positive hindrances. But anyway, the ruin born of indifference is not the last word. No. Next, and listen to this. Next, this indifference happens and turns, hardens and turns into antagonism, fault-finding. And we flatter ourselves and we say, well, the reason I am this way is there any excuse for you being that way? Is there any excuse for any of us being a hindrance? Is there any excuse for us casting a shadow with our big, tall, leafy, no fruit, trunky bodies, causing others to not get sunshine or air? Is there any good reason why you should just stay there and do nothing? Is there any good reason you should even be called part of that family? Is there any good reason you should even be called a citizen of the United States? I oftentimes wonder about the people that never want to go to war. See? Well, what would they do if nobody went to war? I oftentimes wonder about the people that live in the 1800s and drive buggies around and hand-milk cows and all of this. I often wonder about that. What if everybody was riding around in buggies? How long do you think we'd last over here against the Russians or Chinese or whoever wanted to take us on? How long do you think we'd last? I think you ought to, people out there riding around them buggies ought to praise God for us just not too moral freaks that are out here. Say amen, somebody. I think you ought to praise God for some people with some G-U-T-Z's. Guts. That's what I think. That's exactly what I think. Huh? God bless America. But what are you doing for America? Stick yourself way out someplace, walk around with great big old dark clothes on and ride a horse around? Well, that's fine. Don't become so moral, that's the only way to live. Because glory to God, there's a lot of guys that went out and died. There's a lot of guys that fought for this country and died for this country and did a whole lot of things. What are you doing for your country? Does your dogma or your doctrine keep you out of being a real person? Does somebody have to come up and slap you in the face to prove a point? What are you doing? For the most part, folks, there's a lot of useless people that do a lot of talking about the realists. So we become antagonistic against everybody else. Well, I've given it careful consideration. I had a phone call. And that's why I feel the way I do. I reasoned it out carefully. Usually people call, they're really mad. You have to hold the phone out here. Now, what is it about my personality that makes people riled up? I don't know. I don't really care. I really don't. Because, see, I know why I'm called to do this work. And if it antagonizes somebody and they want to use it for an excuse for not doing anything, well, then fine. Preachers have the same thought that Jesus had. Usually this is not the case. There's no reason behind it. Usually we take our position first and then we look for reasons. Now we say, you know what? I don't want to be involved. Let's see. Let me think up a few good reasons. And then later on we forget that we even had that first thought of how do we get out of here, and then we just do the reasons. We take the heading off and then we go with the reasons. Usually when a person decides to become useless, they start out by taking a position first and then coming up with the reasons. Those who don't come to church, those who don't become involved, must find reasons, excuses to save their self-respect. Many times it's as simple and plain as I am lazy. And so I tell you, they go ahead and they justify their actions, and next they become excellent fault finders. And they look for the worst in the church instead of the best. And then they find it. Aha! You ever seen a fault finder? When they want to do something else other than serve the church, they'll find the littlest thing to get mad at. Don't get mad at the littlest thing. And they cause a situation, and then they can go off and do their little thing. Isn't that right? Now you see that all the time down here with all the different people we have in here, right? And they'll find some little fault, some little thing that's wrong, and they use that little thing to manipulate. And then they won't tell you why they're mad or they're upset. Never mind. Well, now you're going to know how to deal with it. Tell them that there's the door. It swings both ways. Don't let the door hit you on the way out in the seat of the pants, but just leave. And don't mess around with them. You know, I mean, a couple of times, three or four times, checking out they're going to bear any fruit. Then after that, then just uproot them and set them outside. Now, I know this is plain, this is very plain and very simple, but it's got to be preached. Someone has got to have the G-U-T-Z's to preach it, because all we have right now in the Christian world is a whole lot of fault finders. Finding fault with each other. Okay, here it is. Oh, this guy said, my discerners are right on. Don't you tell me, he said on the telephone. I said, are you sure they're not horns? Let me lock this up. Degeneration sets in people that become useless. They start to degenerate. People that go to old people's homes and they've allowed themselves to become useless and fruitless, and they go in the old people's home and become bitter. They start to degenerate, or even if you're sitting at home listening on the radio, even if you're a preacher and you've allowed bitternesses to creep into your life and you're not doing your work that God has set you to do, the first thing is you're going to try to find excuses for becoming useless. After you become useless, you become a fault finder. After you become a fault finder, then you become a degenerate. Then you become, I said, fault-finding. Then a critical spirit comes in. Then bitterness, I said, enters. Then self-defense comes in. And you have to defend why you're fault-finding, defend why you're critical, defend why you're bitter, and you have to defend yourself. Then a cynical spirit moves in. And useless? Oh, you are so useless. So this useless man becomes a very positive foe, wherever that he may go. Here it is. The natural eye that goes out, and it's a natural law, the eye that won't see goes out. The hand that won't work withers. The lungs that won't breathe will collapse. The arm that won't bend stiffens. The mind that won't work deteriorates. The heart that won't pump seizes up. The family that won't produce children will die. The church that will not evangelize will fail. You got to be active, folks. Let me say, and let me tell you how you can escape this. Jesus said, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Does that mean that you continually and always say, "I'm sorry"? So many times people are so apt at saying, I'm sorry. No. Repent means that you have a resolve. You think it out, and you go over, and you, in some measure, you start to judge your actions. And you take account of yourself and you say, "You know what? I've been wrong." You listening on the radio, do you want to be healed? How many know that once in a while we are wrong? Put your hand up if you know that. Anybody? Once in a while, we're wrong. Put your hands up. I ought to put my legs up too. We're wrong. It says, "Confess your faults one another that ye may be healed." It doesn't say confess someone else's faults. Confess your faults that you may be healed. I don't know how many confessions I've given from that pulpit area about myself. I should have been locked up several times. I mean, these are things the police don't even know. You know what I mean? But I'm healed. And there's more there. There's more. Today, right now, don't be a fault finder. Be a fact finder. Find out what the facts are. Get together. Not to argue, because sometimes you can get together and you can start arguing. "Well, you did this and I did that and so on and I got this way and blah, blah." No, no. Basically, put your things out there. Here's the facts. Line them up over here. And you know what you'll find out? It is a lie. How many things in our life, you know, you've lived a while. How many things in you found out in your life that after a while that, you know, they just turned out to be lies, you know what I mean, right? During times of our lives, we can't be happy, we can't be this, we can't be... And they turned out all to be lies, right? You can be whatever you set your heart and mind to do, but you got to be an active person. Active. Did you hear that? Maybe you're in an iron lung right now and you're listening to me. How about me? You can be active. You can be active. Jesus, I want to thank you today for this opportunity to minister to these people in here and all the people in the balcony, these thousands of people that are sitting in these pews. I want to thank you for the radio audience, and I want to thank you for the people in Africa. I want to thank you for the people that are listening in Cuba. And I want to thank you, Lord, for the radio ministry in Tanzania. And I want to thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come down here and be a servant of the Lord right now in this particular Northside Mission Ministry. God, I want to thank you for the fact that you have given me life and given me breath, and I want to keep using it so that I have I want to use my lungs so that I got air for tomorrow. And I want to use my mind so it doesn't deteriorate, and I want to use my limbs so they don't deteriorate and fall off, and I certainly don't want to have foot rot by just sitting around doing nothing. God, I want to ask you to help everyone in here. If there's someone sitting here today that doesn't know if Jesus is their personal Savior, you can have him right now today. The Bible says now is the time for salvation. Don't wait on it. You young ladies right back there, you're born again. You have Jesus in your heart? How about you, honey? Have you got Jesus in your heart? And all you people there, have you accepted Christ as your personal Savior? Okay. That's an important question to ask. You see? And it says, that, and it's so simple. Listening on the radio. If you confess your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, thou wilt be saved. Because with a mouth, that's how you say it. And it says, here's a mystery. It says that in the Bible that God foreknew you, and he put the word in your mouth and in your heart, the word that I'm preaching, and if you'll just say it, you'll be saved. That's too simple for some people. They think you got to walk on your knees to church for a month or read the rosary or do some kind of thing like that. It hasn't got nothing to do with it. It's accepting a finished work. We're just about now, like I said right now, we're turning the corner in this old world. We're in the midnight hour, the 11th hour right now. We are in the 11th hour. I know enough about military to tell you right now, we are making some very heavy moves, and we need to make heavy moves. But all we're doing right now is fulfilling God's prophecy by the second. It's coming to pass. Jesus, I want to thank you again in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Who's
there? You have it. That was episode 294, part 2 of Facts or False 2. Be sure to join us every Friday for part 1, every Sunday for part 2 of Pastor Paul's podcast. If you go to www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com, there you will find all of Pastor Paul's podcasts, the show notes, and scripture links. So be sure to check those out. Join us next Friday for episode 295, Facts or False 3. Have a great week. God bless you.
You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict prancing on the stage. Money drugs at your command, women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor or they may call you chief, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a state trooper. It may be a young Turk. Maybe the head of some bigger TV network. You may be rich or poor. You may be blind or lame. Maybe living in another country under another name. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Maybe you're a construction worker working on a home. Maybe living in a mansion. You might live in a dome. You may own guns. And you may even own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord. You may even own banks. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve
yes,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Spiritual pride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop. You may know how to cut hair. And maybe somebody's mistress. Maybe somebody's heir. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil. Or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Might like to wear cotton, might like to wear silk. Might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk. might like to eat caviar. You might like to eat bread. Maybe sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king-size bed. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Now you may call me Terry, or you may call me Timmy. You may call me Bobby, or you may call me Zimmy. You may call me RJ, you may call me Ray. You may call me anything, no matter what you say. You're still gonna have to serve somebody. To serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, and it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.